Good morning. You're listening to special coverage of tragic events that have occurred today in New York City and in Washington, D.C. I'm going to go through just a timeline of today's events as compiled by the Associated Press. Plane crashes into Tower of World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan shortly before 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Then shortly after 9 a.m. Eastern Time, a second plane crashed into the second tower of the World Trade Center. President Bush in Sarasota, Florida, earlier this morning called the crashes an apparent terrorist attack and a national tragedy. Then an aircraft crashed near the Pentagon, just outside of Washington, D.C., in Northern Virginia, about an hour after those attacks in New York. Government buildings in Washington, including the Capitol and the White House, were evacuated, also the Treasury Department and the State Department, with officials citing a credible threat of a terrorist attack. The Federal Aviation Administration shut down all aircraft takeoffs nationwide. If you were planning to take a plane flight in the United States of America today, forget it. It will not happen. Much of American air traffic has been diverted to Canada. Shortly after 10 o'clock this morning, an hour ago, Eastern Time, one of the World Trade Center towers in New York City collapsed, about an hour after being hit by a plane. American Airlines said that one of the planes that crashed into the Trade Center was American Airlines Flight 11, hijacked after takeoff from Boston en route to Los Angeles. There was a report this morning that senior law enforcement officials said that a car bomb exploded outside of the State Department in Washington, D.C. I have not seen that report repeated this morning. Financial markets suspended trading in the wake of the attacks. At 10:28 a.m. Eastern Time, about a half an hour ago, the second tower of the World Trade Center collapsed. New Yorkers were to vote today in a mayoral primary. If you are a New Yorker, you're listening now, forget it. You will not vote today. That primary has been called off. Tunnels and roads into and out of Manhattan have been shut down. And NPR's Jackie Leiden is in Brooklyn, New York, and has been watching the scene that she sees far away in the World Trade Center. Jackie?
Well, Bob, you know, as I'm listening to that recap and as these events settle in this last hour, I think we're all just beginning to now absorb the gravity of this coordinated terrorist attack. I mean, I have been watching when I haven't been listening to you or on the computer, the way the different clouds of smoke are changing over the Manhattan skyline from gray to white. As I have mentioned in earlier conversations, my backdoor view from a third floor loft is the World Trade Towers, and the unimaginable horror is that they are gone. And as bad as that, we don't have much notion of how many casualties, to what extent. I'm sure it's to a very great, severe extent, the loss of life. Eyewitness reports from around the building that I've heard have been fairly calm, but only one hospital operates in Lower Manhattan. Manhattan, and for that matter, Brooklyn across the river, are at a standstill. You can't take the subway. You can't drive. I am awaiting instructions if I should bicycle into the scene later or stay here by the telephone. I think this is going to go down as one of our darkest days in American history.
NPR's Tom Jelton is at the Pentagon, where a plane has crashed into that building. Tom?
Yeah, Bob, I had gotten here just about 9:30 this morning, and moments after I arrived, there was an order to evacuate. I didn't actually hear the crash. It happened on the west side of the Pentagon. I enter on the exact opposite side, on the Potomac River side. But I am now over here on a hill overlooking the Pentagon. I'm just about a half a mile from it, directly opposite where the aircraft hit the Pentagon. It is just a stunning sight, Bob, as you've had if you've heard from others before, you know how tough the Pentagon is. This is a building that was built 50 years ago to withstand direct attack. The walls are solid concrete and very thick. This aircraft, and it must have been a large one, cut right through the Pentagon, leaving a gap. There's a notch, a wide notch from top to bottom, and it had just taken out a whole chunk of the Pentagon on the west side here. And that's at least six stories from top to bottom. And as far as I can see, it looks like it goes almost all the way through. There would be hundreds of people that would have been affected by that. That is in the new section of the Pentagon. The Air Force, a number of senior general Air Force officers have their offices there. There is still flames coming from the Pentagon and firefighting going on. The fire is not yet under control, but this is just a major attack on the Pentagon.
Tom Gelton, thank you very much. Michelle Flournoy is a senior advisor at the Center for Strategic Studies. Are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. I can never be sure. I'm sorry. Since people are coming at me from all directions here. What do you make of what has happened today? A multiple attack, apparently. And again, if it would be an extraordinary coincidence if it were a coincidence. Attacks in two cities, on the World Trade Center in New York and on the Pentagon here in Washington.
I think it is a terrible tragedy. I think in all probability it is a coordinated terrorist attack, and I think it's unprecedented in terms of the level of coordination and the scale. And while Oklahoma City was certainly a wake-up call, I think this is really going to get our attention in a different way as a nation, and I think it's going to force us to reevaluate a whole number of things in response.
You've been in a number of meetings, I'm sure, where you've tried to imagine the worst that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
This has to be getting close to that.
It is very close in terms of the number of casualties that will result from this, in terms of the degree of vulnerability that it will cause people to feel walking around downtown New York, Washington, and any other major American city. I think the only thing that could have made it worse is whether if there were chemical or biological weapons involved or something that would increase the casualty level even further. But I think it's very bad, and I do think it will force us to rethink how we are prepared as a nation to deal with terrorism.
What sort of contingencies are discussed when these matters come up before you planners and people who have to prepare us for this?
Well, contingencies like this, attacks on major symbols of American power, which we had today. Both the World Trade Center is certainly a symbol of American economic power and leadership, and also obviously the Pentagon is a symbol of our military power. I think the worst cases that we tend to consider are multiple coordinated attacks, and in the past some people have discounted the possibility of that, but I think obviously now that's proven to be, you know, it's quite clear that it can happen. I do think that it's going to cause us to think about whether we need to take additional security steps to safeguard ourselves against this type of threat. Americans are a very open, we have an open society, it's part of our national character. We tend to embrace our civil liberties and protect them fiercely. But I think there are certain trade-offs between those liberties and the kind of security that we might want to heighten in the future. And those trade-offs are going to be on the agenda following this experience.
But there are precautions there are security measures having to do with hijacked planes, and that's what we had today. Apparently, hijacked planes flown into the World Trade Center and
yes.
Possibly the Pentagon.
Yes. I think in the case of the Pentagon, one of the challenges is that it's so closely situated next to National Airport, so literally hundreds if not thousands of flights pass near or even directly over the Pentagon on a daily basis. I think that situation will probably be reevaluated in the future as to whether we need to cordon off part of that airspace and protect it more fiercely in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Michelle Flournoy is a senior advisor at the Center for Strategic Studies. We've been discussing today's airplane crashes into the World Trade Center towers, both towers, in New York City. The two towers, much of them have collapsed since, after much fire. And a plane crash into the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C. World leaders have reacted to what's been going on here this morning. Russia's President Vladimir Putin expressed deep sympathy to the people of the United States. He said he had been informed immediately of the attacks. Britain's Prime Minister Tony Blair said he was rushing back to London from a trade union conference in response. The Foreign Secretary, Jack Straw, said that Britain offered whatever it could to help the United States government to bring the perpetrators to justice. This is assuming that this is a terrorist attack. President Bush said this morning before he left Florida, he described it as an apparent terrorist attack. German air traffic authorities said all European flights to the United States had been suspended after this morning's incidents. The Federal Aviation Administration has grounded American aircraft. Flights have been diverted to Canada. Again, this is a precaution because it is suspected that the planes that struck the World Trade Center this morning were hijacked planes. So to prevent any more of that, the air traffic in the United States is shut down today, except for Air Force One, which is carrying President Bush back from Florida, where this morning he was promoting his education program. Martin Costi, what else do you have for me?
Well, Bob, we have more information from around the country as the shock starts to turn into action in terms of securing some of the more likely targets if these attacks, apparent attacks, continue. Some federal buildings now are being reported to be closing outside of the Washington area as well as in Washington. In Dallas-Fort Worth, the reports that federal buildings there are closing. Military installations are preparing for a change in status, if not already changing. In Virginia, Navy installations in Hampton Roads, the world's largest Navy base, are under increased security. They call that ThreatCon Charlie. That's implemented, that's a condition that's implemented when an incident occurs, when intelligence is received that some sort of terrorist action is imminent. In New Jersey, all airports and river crossings to New York City are closed. Traffic is snarling on the New Jersey Turnpike, completely backed up. Commuter trains canceled. Newark International Airport, officers with shotguns blocked the road leading to the Port Authority offices and the air traffic control tower. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, the IDS Center, the tallest building in the state, has been evacuated. Also as a precaution because of its possibility as a target because of its prominence. Airports are closing, of course, because of the FAA order to halt air traffic. In New York State, again, security is heightened across the state. There are plans to increase security at border points. Governor Pataki has canceled his events for the day. In California, the state is on high alert. The state's emergency council convened as Governor Gray Davis requested heightened security at all state buildings. And in Tennessee, the Department of Energy's Nuclear Weapons and Research Complex at Oak Ridge is under heightened security. And all flights from Tennessee's major airports are grounded. Chemical plants are increasing their security. And overseas in South America, Secretary of State Colin Powell is returning to the United States, interrupting his tour of Colombia and Peru. He was informed this morning when he was having breakfast with newly elected and Peruvian President Alejandro Toledo of the incidents, and he immediately made plans to return. He will make brief comments to a meeting of the of local leaders who are meeting in Lima, and will head home immediately. Bob?
A plane crashed this morning in Pennsylvania. It is not known if this is connected to the crashes in New York City and in Washington. It was a 747 jumbo jet crashed about 10 o'clock Eastern Time, about 8 miles east of Jennerstown, Pennsylvania. This would be the fourth plane crash in the United States this morning. Two at the New York World Trade Center, one at the Pentagon, and a fourth with, you know, it's not known if there's any connection at all. I hate to speak of a normal plane crash, but a 747 jumbo jet in Pennsylvania. Shortly after this morning's explosions at the World Trade Center, President Bush was in Florida and had this to say.
Today we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country. I have spoken to the Vice President, to the Governor of New York, to the Director of the FBI, and have ordered that the full resources of the federal government go to help the victims and their families, and to conduct a full-scale investigation to hunt down and to find those folks who committed this act. Terrorism against our nation will not stand.
President Bush speaking this morning in Florida. He is now on his way back to Washington, D.C. from Florida. Apparently the president believes this is, what, well, he described it as an apparent terrorist attack. This morning I spoke with a couple of witnesses in New York City who were near the explosion at the World Trade Center.
I was sitting in my my breakfast table when I heard this loud explosion. I ran downstairs and I saw smoke billowing out of the World Trade Center, and then just moments later another hit, and I live close to a mile away from the Trade Center, and you could feel the heat. You could feel the heat right where I was standing, at least a mile away. It was unbelievable.
I was on my way to work across the Brooklyn Bridge, and I was about a third of the way across heading to Manhattan when I saw a plane. And they're never on this approach on the East River, because I walk it every day. And it was coming in over the Manhattan Bridge towards Lower Manhattan, and it banked very slightly towards Brooklyn, which told me that there was something wrong. And I thought it was going to crash, and then all of a sudden it swung over as it was, as if it was going towards Newark Airport, and hit the Brooklyn, hit the World Trade Center dead on.
Our building is a block east of the Trade Towers, and I did see the explosions, and I worried about whether or not we should evacuate, but we thought not to because the street was so bad, and some part of the structure collapsed, and it's not on fire, but our whole apartment and the whole building is full of smoke. And we're trying to, we can't get out the front door because there's so much smoke debris there. But we're told that it's not fire. The streets right now are completely empty. So we've wet a bunch of towels. We've just wet a bunch of towels. I've just put my cat in a carrier. Cars are covered with dust. My whole apartment is covered with dust. So it looks like, though, that I don't think fire is going to be our problem. So that's all.
The experiences of several New Yorkers this morning after the plane crashes at the World Trade Center and the subsequent collapse of the two towers, or most of the two towers of the World Trade Center. Each of those towers was 110 stories high. They are no longer 110 stories high. Kathleen Zichy is a senior manager at New York University Hospital in downtown New York. Ms. Zichy?
Yes.
What
is this? NYU Downtown Hospital.
What's the scene there today?
We have a very, very high volume of patients who've been coming steadily through the door since the first explosion occurred. We feel that we're very well equipped to handle this disaster. Unfortunately, we have had prior experience in terms of the World Trade Center explosion in 93. The cafeteria has been converted to a triage area. We have wall-to-wall patients in there now. Many of the injuries that we are seeing are somewhat superficial. It would be very difficult for me to give you a patient count because the volume of patients is so high and they are coming through the door steadily.
I'm sure you are well equipped, but given the volume of patients that you could be expecting, what do you do about that? Where can you divert these patients to other facilities?
We have a disaster plan in place at the hospital that has a very specific set of guidelines in terms of helping us to pull in the resources that we need to handle a situation of this type. We are also part of a network of hospitals, and they have offered their support. We've had many volunteers who have come through who have offered to donate blood. So we have had a tremendous amount of support from our community in terms of our response.
You must be expecting hundreds and hundreds.
We have hundreds and hundreds here now, and we are expecting additional patients.
Ms. Ichi, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jackie Leiden is in New York City. Jackie?
Well, Bob, I think that for New Yorkers, the nightmare continues to unfold. Every street is now gridlocked with traffic. Subways are shut down. There are reports of difficulty crossing the bridges, especially, of course, impossible by car. I'm going to try and bicycle into Manhattan. Thick gray clouds of smoke where the World Trade Centers used to be. Frustration over obtaining reports on casualties. The hospitals have not been able to coordinate. The command and control center that the city operates, the emergency center within the World Trade Towers, we haven't had a statement yet from the mayor's office. Obviously, people who can walk to New York University Hospital, which is downtown, are not those most critically injured. There would have been tens of thousands of people in that building at 9 o'clock in the morning. However, the total collapse came slowly. So just no word on what is undoubtedly going to be a staggering number of casualties. And I think my plan after we talk will be to try to bicycle into the city to get more information.
Thank you, Jackie. Looking at a report from the Reuters news agency, Abdel Bari Atwan, who's a London-based editor of an Arab newspaper, says that Saudi dissident Osama bin Laden warned 3 weeks ago that he and his followers would carry out an unprecedented attack on U.S. interests for its support of Israel. Audrey Cronin lectures in counterterrorism at Georgetown University. Are you there?
Yes, hello.
This would seem to be, if it is in fact a terrorist attack, certainly unprecedented. Would describe it.
Yes, I would say that in terms of the potential number of casualties, this is an unprecedented attack in the United States. Very tragic and shocking as we watch it unfold.
It's the idea of chaos and confusion, which we have now. The idea that air traffic is over for the moment in the United States. The biggest and most important government buildings in Washington, D.C. have been evacuated. Trading on the stock exchange has been shut down. This is chaos.
No, I don't think it's chaos yet. In fact, I think by looking at it that way and feeling these emotions that we feel, we help to bring about just exactly what an attack like this is intended to engender, which is fear and panic among those who are watching. This is not chaos. We still have a government that is in power and in control. Some of the reports that I'm watching evolve have turned out to be incorrect. It is a very alarming and very disturbing event, but it is not chaos.
Where are they in control with government buildings being evacuated? The Congress, the White House, the State Department, the Pentagon, the Treasury Department?
I think government control has more to do with the people who are directing the government than it does the buildings in which it occurs. There are some secure spaces. The president, as far as we know, is not in danger. And I would simply say that it's not business as usual, undoubtedly, but to describe it as chaos is only to bring about the kinds of emotions and panic that the terrorists are trying to engender.
Dr. Alice Cronin lectures in counterterrorism at Georgetown University. NPR's Alex Chadwick joins me now.
Good morning, Bob. I've just come through downtown Washington, D.C., and it's true there is not a sense of panic in the streets, but there certainly are people jamming the sidewalks, trying to get out of downtown, trying to get home. The buildings are shut down. People seem calm. Perhaps that's because there are no apparent fires or explosions going off in the central part of town north of the White House. But certainly buildings are closing. Streets are blocked off. Quite suddenly, police tapes go up across streets. One, in fact, in front of our building here, because the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is across the street. And you've been here in the studio, so you didn't hear this, but a little while ago, they called for the evacuation of this building. I think that's happening all over the city. People are being asked to leave, and they're worried. They're concerned, of course.
NPR's Don Gagne, our White House correspondent, is now across the street from the White House. Don?
Right, Bob. I'm just beyond Lafayette Park. They had us all leave the White House grounds at 9:41 this morning. Initially, we were told just to wait in Lafayette Park, then, which is of course right across the front lawn of the White House, the front of the house. Then they moved us to the north end. Then they had us cross the street, and the perimeter has widened. And 8th Street, which runs parallel to Pennsylvania Avenue, again a block north of the White House, has now been blocked off with that yellow tape. The streets that are open around here, there's gridlock, and there's clearly a heightened sense of alert. But there's also right now just a lot of people kind of standing here looking, trying to get a sense of what's going on.
Report from Fort Worth, home of American Airlines. American Airlines says it lost two aircraft carrying 156 people. Whatever lost means, whether they were hijacked or they've disappeared. Of course, all air traffic has been grounded in the United States. Alex.
It was one of the planes that hit the World Trade Center. At least one is reported to have been an American Airlines plane. Perhaps that's what they're counting.
In case you're just joining us, this morning, shortly before 9 o'clock Eastern Time, a plane crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan in New York City. Shortly after 9 o'clock Eastern Time this morning, a second plane crashed into the second tower of the World Trade Center. Reached in Florida, President Bush referred to these incidents as an apparent terrorist attack and a national tragedy. Then, an aircraft crashed into the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia, just outside of Washington, about an hour after the attacks in New York City. Government buildings in Washington, including the Capitol, the White House, the Treasury Department, and the State Department, were evacuated, with officials citing a credible threat of a terrorist attack. The Federal Aviation Administration shut down all aircraft takeoffs nationwide, following reports that these planes that had crashed into the World Trade Center in New York were hijacked aircraft. Shortly after 10 a.m. Eastern Time, about an hour and a half ago, one of the World Trade Center towers in New York City collapsed. And American Airlines said that one of the planes that crashed into the Trade Center was American Airlines Flight 11, hijacked after takeoff from Boston en route to Los Angeles. That is a capsule of what we know now, and we will return to you with continuing coverage of today's tragic incidents. This is special coverage of tragic events that have occurred today in New York City and in Washington, D.C. Airplanes have hit the World Trade Center, both towers of the World Trade Center in New York City, and a third plane has hit the crashed into the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia, outside of Washington. And NPR's Tom Jalton is there. Tom?
Yeah, Bob. Some new developments here since I spoke to you last. There had been several helicopters circling around the building. Clearly, they were concerned about yet another aircraft coming in. Most of those have now landed. Also, the firefighting activity has died off some. The firefighters have pulled back. The priority now has shifted to first aid, to trying to recover victims. A number, dozens of ambulances have arrived, and this is clearly the priority now, is to get in there and to help as many people as possible. The flames, there are still flames evident outside the building, and I think that's probably debris from the aircraft that crashed, but the fire does seem to have died down somewhat, and as I said, the firefighters have pulled back. Most of the activity now has to do with ambulances.
Do you know what happens in that particular part of the Pentagon? Do you know what offices those are?
Well, the crash, the attack, really affected the Pentagon from top to bottom. That means six floors, and I now understand that it destroyed the first two rings. There are five rings. The third ring was very badly damaged, and then as you got in towards the courtyard, apparently there it was less so. So we've got essentially two rings and six stories, dozens and dozens of offices, and a number of very high-ranking Navy officers were there, some three stars. In fact, the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Vernon Clark, had his office in that area, but I do understand that Admiral Clark himself is okay. But there were a number of other three-star Navy officers who had offices in that area. Below the Navy, the Army and the Air Force also had offices in there. We haven't had any word yet on casualties. As you can imagine, just total chaos here in terms of communication.
NPR's Tom Jalton at the Pentagon. Morning Edition commentator Craig Childs is in New York, where he's been talking to witnesses about events this morning, the World Trade Center towers collapsing following being hit by airplanes, both towers. Craig?
Yes.
What have you heard this morning?
Well, I've just been on the street, standing there, arrived probably a couple minutes after the planes hit, and listening to people's responses, and then seeing them as the buildings actually exploded, and just the sense of outrage and emotion that's showing up. One man passed me, just shouting, "We need to bomb them now, and I need to kill somebody," and that combined with the with another person next to me saying, "My sister didn't go to work this morning. If she had gone to work, she would have died."
Craig, pardon me, we're going to go to Greg Schiappelli, who's director of the Somerset County Hospital in Pennsylvania. Mr. Schiappelli?
Yes.
You've had a plane crash in your area this morning.
We've had a plane crash in a small rural area just north of Somerset. It was supposedly in a strip mine area. We have many strip mines in Somerset County. At this point, they are combing the area for what we hope are survivors. Details are still sketchy on it. It was near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, which is near another area called Indian Lake, which they tell me is where the plane actually went down at. Details at this point are very sketchy.
Now, obviously we're wondering if this crash has any connection to the other three plane crashes of this morning.
There's a lot of speculation, but we have no idea at this point whether the crash is connected at all.
This was a 747 jumbo jet.
Well, reports are that it's a 767 or 747. We're not exactly sure about that yet either. But the initial reports we have are 767. That again, reports are still sketchy.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
NPR's Don Gagne is near the White House. Don?
Yes, Bob. Well, we're waiting for information here. They have evacuated the White House along with just about every other government building today. The evacuation word came at 9:41 this morning. Everyone, staff, reporters, was moved out first into Lafayette Park, then across Lafayette Park. We have more and more police tape going up as they continue to widen the security perimeter around the White House. It is quiet here now outside of the police tape. It's a pretty good crowd of people, a lot of reporters, some White House staff, and some people from the area who are just watching to see what's going on. We're not getting any information from the White House on what the president's plans are. He was, of course, in Florida this morning, reading to elementary school students. When he got word of this, he made just a brief statement that you've described as he took off, and he's in the air, but we don't know where he goes or what the White House, the administration's plans are from here.
Well, that was my next question. The White House has been evacuated, and they're worried about possible terrorist action. Maybe they don't want him at the White House.
Exactly. I mean, there is clearly very high security here. And while they're not telling us what they have done or if they've even had any specific threats here, they have to be concerned about that. And they're not giving us any information as to what their plans are once he lands, even where or when he will land.
There are good communication facilities on Air Force One. They may want to keep him there. Do they still have the alternative White House in the Blue Ridge Mountains?
Well, that I'm not aware of. I haven't heard mention of that today. But they do have plans for attacks such as this, for situations such as this. But again, we're not hearing anything as to what they plan on doing and where he will go and how he will monitor the situation.
I suspect you won't either. Thank you.
Exactly. But it is still clearly a very, very live situation. There are still sirens here. Police are absolutely on high alert. Park police, their white shirts are standing just across the street from me. They have machine guns and the kind of weapons that we don't usually see these officers carrying, and everyone is just watching and waiting, and it's not clear how long we'll be in this sort of a situation.
NPR's Don Gagne near the White House. Peter Overby is on Capitol Hill. Peter?
Hi, Bob.
What do you know?
Well, there are a few senators who are still on the ground here. The Capitol has been evacuated. The senators have told their staffs to go home. In fact, it's rather calm here. It's a stunned calm, a lot of police sirens in the background, but no real activity around here. The senators, don't know what to make of it the same way the rest of us don't. There's concern expressed about what happened in the intelligence community. People aren't pointing fingers by any means, but they are wondering, how could this have happened? Senator Hagel, Chuck Hagel of Nebraska, a Republican, one of the Senate's experts on military affairs, his take on it is, this country has been changed forevermore. This is the second Pearl Harbor. It's that serious. And Senator Joseph Biden, Democrat from Delaware, chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, kind of took the other tack. He said, he's obviously concerned about this, but he says, that he thinks would be a serious mistake to fundamentally alter the way we do business as a nation because of what's happened today.
NPR's Peter Overby, thank you very much. Jackie Leiden, still standing by in New York City?
Yes.
You're still in Brooklyn?
I am. I'm preparing to leave by bicycle to go into Manhattan because that is the only way to go. You know, one wonders that even a feeling of something like this in your voice or heart, because all morning I have been able to see the smoke colors change over where the World Trade Center used to be. There is not a feeling of panic in New York City. There is not a feeling of civil chaos, but there certainly is a feeling of confusion and what to do next.
The streets are all gridlocked. The bridges are closed to all the pedestrian or bicycle traffic. And the whereabouts of the mayor and the chief of police are at this moment uncertain. The Department of Health has done what it can to assure people that things are running smoothly. But the great irony here is that the command and control center, the emergency crisis center set up by the city of New York, was in the World Trade Center. So although we've had a statement from Governor Pataki condemning this in terms of information here in the city, a communication crisis, mobile phones not working, anyone without cable television cannot get a television picture of what's happening. And so while New York City is not panicking, it certainly is in a state of confusion, Bob.
Martin Costi.
Bob, I'm monitoring news coming in from around the world and around the country as people react to these attacks. First of all, in Europe, as may be expected, transportation is becoming more chaotic as flights are canceled or rerouted, especially flights going to the United States, as has been reported all morning. General aviation has been grounded in the U.S. Incoming flights from Europe are being rerouted to Canada, but Canada is also closing its airports or shutting down its aviation, but it's accepting those incoming flights from overseas that were heading to the United States. There's this item coming out of Pakistan. The ambassador of the Taliban movement there has called a news conference for tonight, but it has not been said whether this has anything to do with the incidents this morning here in the United States. But there's substantial interest in what he may have to say. In Switzerland, Alan Greenspan, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, is overseas. The Federal Reserve is very secretive about his about his whereabouts for security reasons, but they say he is well protected. Markets are closed in the United States. SEC says it will reopen them when they say it is practical to reopen them, but for now, no U.S. markets are open. However, some stock markets around the world have dropped sharply, probably in reaction to the incidents in the United States. Specifically, Israel and Poland have seen sharp stock market drops. Around the country, many landmarks are being closed or evacuated, such as the Sears Tower in Chicago, the John Hancock Building. Some federal buildings, but does not look like many, are closing around the country. In some border crossing areas, such as Detroit, security is being stepped up at the border, but the borders are still open. Of course, again, overseas, Secretary of State Colin Powell is coming home he's cutting short a visit to the Andean region. He was visiting Peru and Colombia in support of the administration's policies there, and he will be cutting that short and heading home. So that's the reaction so far around the world.
NPR's Martin Costi, thank you very much. Barbara Bradley is at the FBI. Barbara?
Hi, Bob. I'm afraid I don't have a whole lot to tell you. A spokesman came out just a few minutes ago and gave us a very short statement. The first point is that they've dispatched investigative teams to each of the sites. The second is that their number one priority is the safety of the injured and wounded. They wouldn't say how many people they think are injured or wounded. And the third is just that they're cooperating with other agencies. So I'm afraid we don't have a whole lot of information here at the FBI. They've evacuated the Justice Department. We can't get in there. There are apparently a few people in the FBI. We can't go in there to get any more information.
Barbara Bradley at the FBI, thank you. John McChesney is at the Pentagon. John?
I'm standing, Bob, right in front of the Pentagon where the aircraft hit. I've been drafted as a litter bearer. There are firefighters have knocked a lot of the fire down, although flames are still pouring from some of the windows. And there are a bunch of volunteer teams here who are organized around litter bearing, and we're about to be drafted to go in and pick up injured, which there must be many, given the size of the devastation here. There is about a 75-foot hole in the wall here where the wall has collapsed. And the fire looks to be pretty well knocked down at this point, although there's still a lot of smoke pouring from the building. We've been asked to pull back twice because of reports of incoming aircraft, which fortunately never materialized. That's about it from here right now.
Thank you, John. That's John McChesney at the Pentagon. NPR's John Burnett joins me now from Texas. John, where are you?
Hi, Bob. I'm in Austin. I'm monitoring the American Airlines headquarters in Fort Worth.
American Airlines said it lost two planes today.
That's right. They just released a statement briefly a few minutes ago, and they confirmed that it has lost two aircraft this morning. One was Flight 11, a Boeing 767 that was en route from Boston to Los Angeles with 81 passengers, 9 flight attendants and the 2 pilots, and also Flight 77, which was a Boeing 757 operating from Washington Dulles to Los Angeles. It had 58 passengers, 4 flight attendants, and 2 pilots. The chairman of CEO of American Airlines, Donald Carty, said, "We're horrified by these tragic events, and our thoughts and prayers go out to the families of all involved."
Now, when they say they've lost 2 aircraft, what are they saying?
Well, they're not saying anything else. They're literally not saying anything else, and that all information beyond that must come from the FBI, and so they're not saying who might have hijacked it. They're not saying whether those planes were those that went into the World Trade Center or the Pentagon. That's literally all we have right now.
Thank you, John. And just a note, United Airlines confirms that a flight from Newark, New Jersey to San Francisco crashed near Pittsburgh. That would have been the Somerset County crash we referred to earlier. Whether or not it's related to these other tragedies is unknown, but all aircraft flights in the United States have been suspended now. You did not have to go far in Washington, D.C. to get a sense of the confusion and fear that permeates the air here. Just outside of National Public Radio on 6th and Massachusetts here in Washington, people were being herded away from a van parked in the middle of the street, and rumors about what was in that van were flying, and nearby government workers told to evacuate their buildings were trying to figure out how to leave the city.
I'm scared. I'm frightened, really. This is, it's horrible. I've never been in nothing like this before.
How'd you hear about it? When did you find out about it?
On news, on the TV at work, someone was listening to the radio, then they went into the little conference room and turned on TV, and we saw the World Trade Center bomb. Next thing I know, they say a building behind the Capitol. Then it's in the Pentagon, and oh my God, that's too close for comfort.
I think it's horrible. I think it's just awful. I think it's horrible. I think we have to pray and really pray for America. It's really bad. It's a bad situation. My heart goes out to those people in New York. It's just awful. I just can't imagine being in that building.
Did you ever think it was going to hit this close to home?
I never did.
Did you ever imagine it?
No. This is something you see on TV. You would never think that it would actually happen here. No.
These are government workers on the streets of Washington, D.C. this morning, and they were talking to NPR's Lynn Neary. Don Gagne, our White House correspondent, is near the White House. Don?
All of this happened, Bob, while the president was in Florida at an event promoting education reforms. He was actually to children when his chief of staff, Andrew Card, whispered into his ear the first word of the World Trade Center crashes. He made a brief statement. He is now, he's left Florida. He's in Air Force One, and we have received no other official word from anyone at the White House about his whereabouts, about exactly what is going on here at the White House. I can tell you that we were evacuated, all the press, all the staff, anybody who works in the White House, groundskeepers and the like, were all sent out off the grounds at 9:41 a.m., sent into First Lafayette Park, which is right across the street. And then Park Police urgently moved us off to H Street, which is a full block away across from the front of the White House. And this is where we stand right now. It is as quiet as it has been all morning. Streets are closed off around here. There was a bit of gridlock in this area as recently as 5 or 10 minutes ago, but it too has cleared off, no doubt because of streets that have been closed off feeding into this area. But the Park Police are standing guard, some with machine guns. Here comes a black limousine of some kind right now with a siren pulling up, going through the police take that set up. and it goes past, was not the kind of car that we see dignitaries visiting the White House traveling in. Anyway, we wait. We have no word yet on what the president is doing, will do, where he will go, and that's the situation outside the White House.
Don Gagne, thank you very much. Tom Jelton is near the Pentagon. Tom?
Yeah, Bob. I'm outside the Pentagon where an aircraft crashed directly into the side of the Pentagon about 2 hours ago. Still a lot of rescue activity going on here now, but clearly the threat of more attacks has receded, so the emphasis has shifted now to rescue. There's a Red Cross helicopter just landing in front of the Pentagon here now. A number of ambulances. I can see a couple of dozen ambulances here, but they're not able to get close enough. They're not able to get inside the building to actually rescue people. There's still flames from the. I can see flames in several of the windows at the Pentagon, so still have a major mess here.
NPR's Tom Jelton at the Pentagon. The building has been hit by a plane this morning. That is Tom's assignment. He covers the Pentagon for us. We're going to New York now to Jim Zaroli. Jim?
Hi. Well, New York City is a scene of utter chaos and confusion right now. It is just a tragic and very upsetting situation. The city is in full terrorism alert. Now, what that means is they've basically shut down all of the bridges and tunnels leading into the city. They've evacuated the United Nations, the New York Stock Exchange. They have sealed off bridges. They have basically, Mayor Giuliani was interviewed a little while ago and is saying that he wants everybody below Canal Street, which is the whole southern part of Manhattan, to leave the area if they work or live there, to leave and not to go in there. He says he says it's not really clear yet how many lives have been lost, but he said, I have a sense it's a horrendous number of lives lost. So this is really just a very chaotic situation right now.
Jim, thank you. Don Gagne near the White House.
For information here, there is a security perimeter several blocks wide around each side of the White House. It was evacuated at 9:41 this morning. Everyone out. The president has left Florida, where he was spending the morning promoting education reforms. The sense is that this was all precautionary here at the White House as part of the larger threats around the country. We do not have any word to whether or not there was any kind of an immediate threat or anything on the White House, but the park police have the area cordoned off. There's yellow police tape everywhere. The police have machine guns and those kind of automatic weapons, the kind that we do not see them carry ever around here. And we wait for word on where the president is going and where we go from here.
NPR's White House correspondent Don Gagne near the White House. The White House itself has been evacuated this morning, as have many other government buildings, including the Pentagon, where a plane has crashed into the Pentagon today. And Tom Jelton is there. Tom?
Yeah, Bob, I do have one very minor piece of good news in this day when we're so desperate for anything, and that is that the section of the Pentagon that was hit this morning directly by an aircraft was a new section of the Pentagon. It had been recently renovated, and for that reason, a number of the offices were unoccupied. Clearly, the casualties would have been far greater. This is probably the one spot in the entire perimeter of the Pentagon that could be hit with relatively less loss of life than elsewhere. I talked to a number of Army officers, for example, this morning, who were just getting ready to move into that area, and several of the officers hadn't even been occupied yet. Still, I mean, there was going to be very significant casualties here, but it could have been worse.
Thank you, Tom. Laura Bush, the president's wife, was to testify on Capitol Hill today about education. Rebecca Pearl is in New York City with school children. Rebecca?
Yes.
Rebecca?
Yes, hello.
Go ahead.
Well, I was at my son's school just this morning, and things are very, very calm at the school. The teachers are just keeping the kids in the class, and really the kids don't know what's happening outside, except that every now and then a parent comes in and says they're going to take their kid. The parents, the Manhattan parents, are bringing their kids home. But many of the kids at our school are from the parents, they live in Brooklyn, and they cannot get home. So they're kind of hanging around frantically outside the school thinking, oh, what should we do? The school, like many schools, are prepared to stay open all night so that, you know, to accommodate the kids. And at our school, they're asking for sleeping bags and stuff because they know they're going to have about a third of the kids at that particular school really live in Brooklyn. It's a, sort of a magnet school, if you will. So it's calm, but people are wondering about what the night's going to bring. The teachers are up for it. They're just like, well, it's part of our job, and we're just going to be here all night. That's the way it is.
Rebecca Pearl in New York. It has been an extraordinary and tragic morning across the United States. At about 9 a.m. Eastern Time, two separate planes crashed into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City. One of those planes is reported to have been hijacked, an American Airlines jet flying from Boston to Los Angeles. A short time later, the two towers of the World Trade Center collapsed. Casualties are streaming into New York City hospitals. The Federal Aviation Administration has stopped all air traffic over the country. No airplanes are flying, except for Air Force One, which is carrying President Bush from Florida to Washington. Washington, though, also is in turmoil. At about 10 o'clock Eastern Time, a plane crashed into the Pentagon. At roughly the same time, a plane believed to be a 757 crashed near Pittsburgh. While it's not clear yet whether the Pennsylvania crash was connected to these other events, officials are calling the tragic events in Washington and New York one of the most highly coordinated and heinous acts of terrorism in history. Many government buildings have been evacuated in Washington, and key sites and landmarks across the country, such as the Sears Tower in Chicago, have been shut down. Worldwide reaction has been swift. Britain's Prime Minister Tony Blair says the democracies of the world have to come together to fight the mass terrorism that is now the evil in our world today. Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat says he sends his condolences to President Bush and the American people. Earlier this morning, President Bush was in Sarasota, Florida, where he was promoting his education programs. He was to read to school children at an elementary school in Sarasota, and he made this statement. "Ladies and gentlemen, this is a difficult moment for America. I unfortunately will be going back to Washington after my remarks. Secretary Rod Page and the Lieutenant Governor will take the podium and discuss education. I do want to thank the folks here at the Booker Elementary School for their hospitality. Today, we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country. I have spoken to the Vice President, to the Governor of New York, to the Director of the FBI, and I've ordered that the full resources of the federal government go to help the victims and their families and to conduct a full-scale investigation to hunt down and to find those folks who committed this act. Terrorism against our nation will not stand." NPR's special coverage of these events will continue shortly with NPR's Neil Conan.
Support for National Public Radio comes from NPR stations and the Freedom Forum, creator of The Newseum, the first interactive museum of news located in Arlington, Virginia, the George Gund Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, working with the Natural Resources Defense Council to safeguard the earth and the natural systems on which all life depends, and the Pew Charitable Trusts, sponsoring the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life to explore how religion shapes ideas and institutions, pewforum.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.